vacation with my colleagues. Negative results from doing this. And things have been used against them where they thought they were having a conversation with friends, so to speak. That's the way I look at it. And it backfired. In my 47 years of government, I avoided the press and everything else like the plague because it was just, I prefer to do my thing and get it done and be proud of what I did and then let the politicians take off in the other direction.
Right.
Ironically, yesterday, I'm going to say I got blackballed. I had a gentleman who was one of our election chiefs. Chief is one of the people who runs the precinct. So we have 93 precincts, so there's 93 chiefs, there's 93 assistant chiefs, there's the rest of our election office, it goes on and on and on. He wanted to speak with me, so I didn't say no. And then he came out with the list of questions, and I said, that's not what I had in mind, you know. But we got through it. Where it's going to go, I don't know. So explain to me what this is about, where you're going, what's going to happen with this. I would like to know.
Sure.
Out of respect to you coming to me, I'm going to be straight up front. If anything, one will ever say that I ever BS somebody. So, you know.
Well, I'm grateful for that, and I hope I can... I understand, you know, you take 10 different teams of people, you get some, but maybe a couple of them that get aggressive and they've got an attitude or they get, and I can be that way, you know.
Sure, we all can.
If I can be passionate about something.
Sure.
But I consider this a very professional engagement. Now, we you can tell by our questions, they sort of the genesis of those came out of concerns out of the 2020 election.
Sure.
And there's been a number of data analyses. In fact, I've even gotten my Excel spreadsheet out and tried to figure out registration rates and voter rates and that sort of thing.
God bless.
Just to be, to try to verify, are there problems out there? Are there anomalies that I can't explain? And there are some I can't explain. Loudoun County is one of them.
Nor can I, so
that's
okay.
And I won't ask you those.
Good.
But, so we want to sort of establish a baseline of information as of now, before the election, from registrars that were willing to talk to us. I will post those online, and I think, did I send you the website? I hope I did.
I don't remember that. I got your questions,
okay,
of course, as we agreed.
But you can look on the website, and we will post the, we'll summarize the questions. I will send you a copy of our summary.
Okay, that'd be nice.
I'll send you the audio, so you'll have that. So there'll be no gotchas at all, in terms of, there'll be no surprises. We're going to meet afterwards, consolidate our notes. I will put that into a PDF file. We'll review it again to make sure it's right. We'll send it to you. We'll send it to the people that we're responding to. They'll post it. End of story. So that's basically the mission. Now,
I ask which organization are you part of? But there are quite a few.
I understand.
It's a nonpartisan Virginians for Election Transparency.
Okay, yes, I'm familiar with the name.
And it's building a relationship with the registrar.
Sure.
That's why it wasn't an over the phone. It's, we want to build a relationship. We want to, you know, make this a positive experience because there are a lot of good things that are being done that the public doesn't know about.
Absolutely.
And there are things that might need a little improvement that, you know, we can work toward working, you know, as a collective group here. And so it's building that positive so that it's a win for you, a win for the community. And recording it allows voters to hear in your voice. So there is no, you know, stretching or moving anything, but allowing them to hear, hey, this is how we do the procedural things in our office. And I know that one of the ladies had mentioned that a registrar was asked a question and he said, hey, you can go right on the site and answer these questions if you have some. And he didn't have to be listening to a bunch of phone calls, but was able to direct it to all the answers that he had. So we're hoping it's a positive experience and one one that we can glean for ourselves how do things work. And so.
And I know from my own research that there's a number of what I would call internet items floating out there about the election. Some of them, you can look them up and verify them. Some are completely made up. Some people just sit around with a beer and come up with an issue, and all of a sudden it's bouncing around the internet. So I think this is one of those areas that's really ripe for that. So to the extent that we can get your gouge on how these questions are answered, I think that would be helpful.
You know, it's unfortunate because I'm sure you guys are familiar with it, there's the Freedom of Information Act. So we get requests every day.
Sure.
And it's always stock questions as far as the formatting and the, how it's laid out. And it's quite obvious that someone has gotten it from an organization and they cut and they paste it and they put their name on it and they send it.
Yeah.
And again, the registrars throughout the state, there is a communication device that we all, we don't, email system that everybody shares.
Yeah.
So you see the exact same question worded the exact same way.
Are the sweet ones on?
What's
that? This is Fleet 100. Who are you looking for?
Anybody for the Ford, I say.
Try that other door and go straight in to see the guys in there.
Not at all. You're welcome to leave me.
But so what the problem with that has been is that people are getting questions that are written by God knows whom, out in the Midwest, whatever.
Yeah.
They use language that is not in our vocabulary as far as what the elections do or how they go, and they want this, and they want that, and they want this, and we don't know what that is.
Right.
Because it's not a term that we're familiar with.
Sure, sure.
And unfortunately, we can't have a conversation. There seems to be a us against them type of thing, and it's very, very difficult to try and, you know, give them the answer that you want. As I think when you and I spoke on the phone, I told you I've been doing this since 1974.
Yeah.
I've been the Freedom of Information Act officer, the records manager for two different jurisdictions and all that stuff. I have no reason not to give people what they want.
Right.
If it's legal.
Right, right.
You know.
Absolutely.
So that's difficult. So there's fear, if you would understand, on the part of any registrar.
Sure.
And then you add to that that I'm a temporary person, only been here since the beginning of May, and my term is less than 1 month remaining.
Right.
And hopefully they have a new registrar that's coming in. Right. So,
they've been interviewing, so I'm
they've been interviewing, and you know, we're in the final stages. But so I'm a little bit cautious.
I totally understand.
You know, but
I think anybody in your position would be.
Or else they have to be slightly off bubble. So I'm not sure which is the right way to turn on it. But nonetheless, I'm the one that's here. But I'll do my best for you.
Well, thank
you. If I get to something where I say I just can't answer it, I hope you understand.
That's fine. And you can email later too. There might be something. Well, I don't have those numbers, and you're welcome.
Well, and what I've done is, you know, when you're a manager, you better be smart enough to ask your staff what the heck the information is. So I shared the questions with several of my key people,
good.
You know, the registration supervisor, the absentee ballot supervisor, the training supervisor, my chief deputy. So, you know.
That's what it was reminding you of.
Well,
okay, would you like to get started?
Well, I'm ready when you are.
Well,
you
certainly,
know.
Certainly. First, we're just going to have a few general questions about the election process. What is your biggest concern about the upcoming election? Just an open-ended, what is your biggest concern right now as a registrar?
The biggest concern, really, I think, is are we prepared for the number of people who are going to come and vote? And that is a questionable number. I mean, again, when I started doing this way back in the dark ages, you know, I was able to look at election results from the last gubernatorial election and say, okay, well, if we did that many here, and you look at the previous one, if we did that many there, you kind of sort of should have roughly the same number here. But you are fooled. You know, you don't know. You don't know. So it's whether or not we are adequately prepared. We know we have the precincts established. We have the number. We have the election officers. We have sufficient election officers. We have people who have been trained, and they are going to be retrained again, because that's part of my process, if you would. We have, you know, all the ballots will be printed. All the machines are being tested, and everything that you can do to prepare for anything is being taken care of, but it's that unknown.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. Any other major concerns? Just
you know, not really. People will be people. You know, I'm accustomed to poll watchers. I'm accustomed to campaigners. I'm accustomed to all that. I'm not particularly worried about it.
Well,
you know, I know what the rules are. And if people don't care to follow the rules, I'm prepared to do what I have to do to make sure that the election is safe and correct and accurate.
Good.
That safety is a big feature. I'm a safety nut, so, you know,
wonderful.
They have to live with that.
Oh, no, I think that's wonderful. Do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel and training needed to run an effective election in November?
You always doubt yourself. But yes, we've taken steps where, in speaking with my training person, we are doing training in person. During COVID last year, they did online, they did training, they did in person, everything. To me, it is better to do in person. Mm-hmm. I'm experienced in being an instructor, and you get better results standing in a room with people. And there are certain things that I want emphasized, that I want clarified, that I want to make sure everybody's in tune with. Mm-hmm. You can do that better in person. You can look at the students that you have in front of you, and you can tell who's with the program and who's not with the program, and then you can go with the flow, and if you suddenly feel that what you're saying isn't getting across, then you need to say it in another method. So that's important to me.
Sure.
As far as the resources, we have the equipment. We have great dedicated staff. Do we always have enough staff? No, we don't always have enough staff. We have empty positions, and they were there before I came in. And as the acting registrar, I had said to the board that I would not fill those positions because I felt that should be up to the new registrar to come in to do it, because he, she, it, whatever, may want to modify what the job description is, and out of respect to that, I have backed off.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll take that as a yes. Right now, you're feeling.
I'm feeling comfortable.
That's super. The county election board is supposed to consist of two Democrats and a Republican under a Democratic governor, which we have.
Right.
But in some areas, boards have had trouble finding willing Republicans and have appointed an independent instead, or another Democrat. What is the situation for Prince William County?
You're talking about the electoral board itself.
Yes.
The electoral board has appropriate representation. It has two in one.
Okay, thank you. What about precinct staff? Are you able to have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans?
No.
No, okay.
So the state law requires that the opportunity be given to the local parties to supply us with people that they would like to see working at the polls. Okay. So one would expect the Democratic Party and Republican Party to give you a list. That is not happening in Prince William County.
Okay.
So
neither party.
Neither party.
But would you say there's a precinct that's completely only Republican or only Democrat?
Don't believe so.
Okay,
last time I checked, we have approximately 1,500-ish election workers who are confirmed that they are ready and willing to work. And of that, 600 or so are Democrats and 300 or so are Republicans. When someone applies for a job as an election worker, they don't indicate a party, and we are not allowed to ask. So we do the best we can. And, I'm sure you will follow this. When you have a list of 1,500 people and you need 300 for an election, just using that number,
yes.
You try and use the ones who have worked before, who are experienced and are trained, that you can count on them. And even if they are Democrat or Republican, that's not on our list. Our list is making sure that the election is going to be straight and narrow. We have had people that have come in and expressed that they are Republican or of late, mm-hmm. We've tried as best we can to utilize them. So in some cases, we're able to jump ahead of the 1,100 people who were not called and put them into place for the sake of trying to have an active representation.
Okay, thank you very much. In the County Board of Elections, is the County Board of Elections engaged in your work year-round or mostly near elections?
Oh no, it's year-round.
Okay, is it like monthly meetings then, or?
The electoral board itself?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. The electoral board meets when necessary.
Okay.
So, how can I explain it? Before I came here, my last job at the county before I retired was assistant county executive and clerk to the Board of County Supervisors. So I am a meeting person. That can do that with my eyes closed, so to speak. So when there are issues that come up that need the board's attention, I will tell them we need to have a meeting, and we schedule a meeting, we go through the proper procedures and notification and all that stuff, and we go through that, so we have it. We've had probably since I've been here, we probably had four meetings in 4 months or something like that. And we'll be having another meeting in the very near future. We had one a week ago Wednesday, where they did interviews of candidates for the general registrar. Sure. So we put that together. But now if, you know, we're checking backgrounds of candidates and things of that nature, so they'll have to have another meeting in order to make a decision. It's me. I would not allow them to make decisions without having appropriate meetings. I'm a stickler, so.
No, that's great. Are those meetings posted? I'm sorry, the minutes of those meetings?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, great. And they're held right here. They're posted. The open meeting law requires that they be posted here. They require that they be posted on our website. They require that they be posted through the clerk to the Board of County Supervisors, my old job. So that was an easy one.
That's great. Well, thank you. I'm going to pass it over to Okay.
So far, so good, guys.
We should have brought the donuts in here.
Yeah.
A little sugar, we're all relaxed.
We have a lot of staff working right now, and a lot of election workers helping with absentee ballots. So if they smell donuts, you know, we will.
That's not working.
Yeah, we'll work.
Most of these are supposed to be procedural, so I'm hoping it's just a very fluid that you've already, it's things that you do all the time.
This, yes, and this is me.
Okay,
so, you know, this is not a facade.
All right, so now we're going to a few questions on the voter roll. So when was the last time the voter file in your county was scrubbed or cleaned?
Okay, you have to realize that the voter list is predominantly controlled by the State Department of Elections. July 1 of this year, they gave us the updated list.
July 1 was the updated list.
See, I'm not even looking at my notes, guys. This is scary.
You wanted to be relaxed. That's what it's supposed to be.
That's the update.
Okay, when you say audit, remember we talked about the beginning terminology. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about, you're on question number 8, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we don't do an audit. So again, the list predominantly comes through the State Department of Elect, and I don't know what they do or what they call it.
Okay.
But there is no, you know, my base degree is in accounting, so my idea of an audit does not fit much of anything else. So.
Okay.
So they did an audit after 2020, but
what they audited, though, as I understand it, and I wasn't here. I was enjoying my retirement.
Right.
But what I understand, what they audited was the election results.
Right.
So what my staff has explained to me, because I heard about that a month or so ago, and explain that to me. And in a sense, state picked several locations, and we were one. And then they said, okay, this, and they gave us a list of what they wanted. You know, go to envelope number whatever and from precinct whatever and pull out 3 ballots, and they gave us those kind of instructions. Mm-hmm. And then they said run them through, and then we ran them through and gave them the results, and they, you know, agreed that our results based on that random supply was good. And that's, so that's what they called an audit of that.
Okay.
So
that's a different thing.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Different thing than this.
Different definitions, huh? All right. Does the health department, coroner, or Bureau of Vital Statistics send a list of deceased people to your office every month so they can be removed from the voter rolls?
No, they send it to the elections, state election department.
To state election.
They call it the Department of Elections?
Yes. Sometimes referred to as just the word elect. So if people say we go to elect, they're referring to the state department of elections. So if you hear that and it interspersed, it's the same thing. Just their little short acronym.
Okay. When was the last time the clerk of court submitted a list of individuals who declined to serve on jury duty on the basis of being a non-citizen?
We have never heard of such a thing. I even reached out to the clerk of the circuit court to ask her, and she came back, but she said, I've never heard of it. She said, I don't even know if it's legal. So we, again, it's one of those questions, don't know where it came from, folks, but it's not something.
Probably another state or something.
Could very well be.
Yeah.
I'm a Massachusetts guy by origin, so my 20 years there doing elections, it's a whole lot different than it is in Virginia.
And but they didn't do that there either.
There, the city clerk is the registrar of voters, and the city clerk has all the death, birth, marriage, death records. The city clerk is responsible to do a annual census in January for the purpose of updating the rolls. So that's a yearly thing. It's a whole lot different than this world. It's a lot smaller than this world, too.
Right, sure.
That's true. All right. When was the last time you had access to the National Change of Address List or any other change of address list?
July 1.
July 1.
And that's done, though, by the state. So you guys don't have to get involved with
not really.
Add, modify, or delete.
No.
Okay, are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date?
Define accurate and up to date. This does. Here's why I say that. I'm not trying to be a smart guy or put you on input to me. Is it accurate? Virginia is, there are people who can be living according to the voters list at your home. I just moved. That's a good example. I just moved. So I moved from an apartment at the first of last month to a different apartment on a friend's farm. Mm-hmm. So my name, if I had not gone in because I was here and changed my driver's license mm-hmm. and you checked the box. In fact, they got it the next day and they were saying, hey, we got a change of address for you. So it comes through just like that and they changed the address. Mm-hmm. But if I had not done that, mm-hmm. my name would still be on the list at my old apartment in Manassas. Now, somebody may have moved in this week. They may have registered. My name is still on, my name, if I hadn't re-registered, my name would still be there. So until we get something that shows that you've registered in another state, you've changed your address because of the DMV records or something of that nature, you stay on that list. Okay. So when people say, oh my God, there are six people living in my house and they don't live here. Well, the state law requires that they stay on the inactive status for two federal elections. Mm-hmm. So potentially there's 8 years mm-hmm. that someone could be shown listed living at your home
right.
and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the law, that's
yeah.
the process.
Yeah.
So how do you answer that question? Yeah. You know?
So there's processes in place to get the dead people off, to get the people who moved off, to get the people who haven't voted in 8 years.
Right.
Is there any interest in Does anybody have an interest in a case where there's 15 voters in one residence?
But then you'd have to say, okay, are there 15 people living there, or are there 8 people from the last house who left and haven't been caught up in the update yet?
So that might be a case where that was like a rental that has a lot of tenants moving through.
Very potential, or people who rent out their basements or something
right.
of that nature. It's
I know as you're talking, I'm thinking I had a couple of rental properties, and one of them was a pretty big turnaround. I imagine there were probably at least 10 people over 8 years.
Sure. There. You know, and we hear that. People will say that, you know, I found out because an organization sent them an absentee ballot, a random absentee ballot application to someone at his address, and he knew that they were the previous family who lived there.
Mm-hmm.
So that then created questions. Why haven't you gotten rid of them? Well, it's not as easy as that.
Right.
You know, that's hard to explain to people too.
Yeah.
So do you have any concerns about the way that it's run now? We're on number 12B. If no, what is or are your main concerns about the list? Is that just the process you were talking about?
It's the process. Yes. You know. What can you possibly do? You know, if the state statute and everything tells you exactly what you can do, what you can't do, and the State Department of Election takes care of the voters list, you as the landlord or the current homeowner can come in and say, these people don't live here.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but they have to go through that process.
So anything like this would have to be done by legislation. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how many households in your locality have more than 7 individuals registered at the same address?
No idea. No way of knowing. Short of sitting there looking at every, name on the voters list. But
and they were thinking like assisted living might pull up a lot too. So
sure,
yes, you're
sure.
Okay.
Okay, and during registration, how do you verify that voters are citizens?
They have to sign the application form under the penalties of perjury. So if they are fibbing, then they are subject to the law.
That's the registration form? Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just checking the box then on the form and then?
Unfortunately,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
portion is complete. Thank you.
There's just those last three. I'm sorry, one that goes on to the next page.
Okay. So moving on. Concerns were raised across the country about the accuracy and integrity of voting machines in the 2020 elections. There are three types of voting machines used in Virginia. Can you tell me which machines you use?
Hart.
Hart.
And the spellings of
H-A-R-T.
H-A-R-T.
And what software voting system do you use?
Poll Chief.
What is it?
Poll Chief.
How do you spell that?
P-O-L-L.
Oh, Chief?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. No, it's not Poll Chief. Poll Chief is the I get confused, I'm sorry.
No.
Poll Chief is the book that we use, the electronic system to keep track of election workers. The poll books are D-O-M-N-E-C-H, Domnec, I believe is the proper pronunciation.
Domnec.
Yes, I think.
Is that Dominion?
I don't know what it's short for, but that's the company's.
D-O-M-N-E-C-H
is what I.
N-C-H, okay.
Is what I believe it is, and that's, because those were just security updated like last.
I'm sure it is for you.
Yeah, they were required by state and federal, so it was just done. Believe me, I've gotten a lot of education. I'm saying, whoops, nope.
Okay, who collaborates the voting machines, and can you please explain the process?
There's a thing called LNA.
LNA.
And you're going to ask me what that stands for, and I'm going to sit here and say, darn, I wish I could remember. It's occurring on Monday, so we are required to notify the political parties. So we notify the political parties that the LNA, logistics and accuracy, I believe is what it is, but accuracy is one thing, the L, it's, I'll get you the right answer before we leave, but it just ran out of my head. So that occurs this coming Monday at 10 o'clock. So I already notified the two political parties that they are welcome to come and view this. So they will go to our operations center and they will be allowed to watch as staff does the programming for each machine.
Do you usually have a good turnout? Do you usually have a turnout for both parties?
That we can.
Gotcha.
If we will, who knows?
Okay.
You know, we have had candidates before. I know for the June primary, I was there, as I will be on Monday, and I want staff to do their job, and I want to handle the people. If you follow that, so there were a couple of candidates there who stood there, and quite frankly, they stand there and they say, "That's it. That's it. That's all it is." Gotta leave.
Okay. All right. Do you invite party representatives to witness the collaboration?
Yeah, that's statutorily required.
Yes.
Whether they come is up to them, but it's...
Right. You know, the invitation's there.
Yeah, the invitation's there.
Yep. Are voting machines ever connected to the internet?
No, absolutely not. Everybody thinks they are, but they're not.
If they are not connected to the internet, how and when are they updated?
Monday at 10 o'clock.
And what do they use for that? Is it a laptop? Is it a flash drive?
There's a flash drive that goes inside each. There are two flash drives in each machine, and they put the new ones in. One is the recording of the votes, and the other one is the operations.
Right.
And then they are closed, and they are sealed with a wired numbered seal that no one can break the seal and all that stuff, and then the machine is closed and sealed and recorded, all the security measures.
And that's done by a third party?
That's done by staff.
Staff. Okay.
My operations manager and his staff.
How many people are involved in that?
Right now, let's see, who's gonna be there? 1, 2, 3, 4. I believe there's gonna be five. My chief deputy, I promoted him from within that office, but he's going to go back and help. So there's the operations manager, the deputy, and four guys. Four other guys. So a total of six.
So that's quite a few people. They're in a warehouse.
It's in that warehouse. So all the voting equipment. Okay, we'll back up for you. The voting equipment is each precinct has a cage. Cage is about the size of a refrigerator.
Okay.
and it's a cage that they actually lock, put a padlock on it, and everything else. So they are in the warehouse, the operations center, and in that warehouse, it's a cage. It's a floor-to-ceiling cage, and that's locked, and of course, security systems and all that good stuff. So yeah. And record video and the whole bit. So yeah, very cautious.
So each precinct gets to go there and get their equipment and send it out, set it up.
We have the cage delivered to them the day before, because it's a big job. Well, it takes two good-sized guys to push these things on wheels the size of, like I say, a full-size refrigerator.
Wow.
And they're delivered by a company that's under contract with the county, and they are delivered to each precinct the day before.
I see.
And then the morning of, the chief of the precinct and his staff are to unlock them and set them up.
Okay.
So there is a prerequisite time that they come and pick up their keys to the cage, the chief, that is, the cage, and a few other tidbits. I forget what the heck the other things are. So they have that, and they go and they set it up. So they're there at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they start setting up so that they're ready to function as of six.
I'm grateful to hear that, because I've wondered how in the hell does that work?
Oh, I actually knew, but I went and watched it. So I was at work at 4:30 in June, which is okay.
Yeah,
it is what it is, right? And to watch it is like, okay, this is like insane. You know, they have it down to a science. My operations manager has been doing it for, 6 years, 7 years, whatever. And he's got it down to a science. He knows exactly which cages go in which truck and which truck goes to which direction, and got it down to a science. So everything is coordinated, and it's rather impressive for what you're doing.
Yeah. And there's how many precincts, remind me? You
93.
Told me 93 precincts.
Until we redistrict after the census is redistricted, and then you could probably add 30. Probably.
Really?
Yeah, that's what we expect.
Yeah.
We'll cross that bridge when we get
to it. Yes, one day at a time, absolutely. Yeah. Many changes in election procedures were introduced in response to the COVID pandemic, and some people have argued that these changes weaken the integrity of the election process. As an election official, do you think the changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to COVID have weakened the election integrity, strengthened the election integrity, or made no change in the election integrity?
I think it strengthened it because of the number of people that are involved. You know, we had to add, I know back in November, though again, I was not here, I was enjoying life. But the checks and balances at each of the early voting locations and the number of people involved is impressive, you know. And again, I don't know all of these election officials, believe me, but I've gotten to know quite a few of them. And it reminds me of back home in Massachusetts. These people take it very, very seriously. God bless them. And it's a wonderful thing. It's hard to imagine anything but the appropriate results based on, you know, the dedication of the people. They're not there for the money. They get a stipend for the day. It's a long, long day. But they really care and they make a difference. Again, lots of checks and balances.
Sure. Okay. Well, super. Did you receive any funding or in-kind contributions for training staff, voter education, equipment, or any other purpose from outside the state of Virginia?
No, not that I'm aware of. And neither is my staff, because I had to ask.
Okay. Great. Effective July 1st, 2021, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated requirements for voters to have a witness signature on absentee ballots for any election during a declared state of emergency. The governor has now rescinded the state of emergency. How are you training your staff to ensure that there is a signature match for the upcoming elections?
There's no requirement for anyone to check identifications. You're not required to come in and give identifications. And so many of us who have been voting for years as a matter of habit, me included, take out my driver's license or my voter registration card and I hand it to the person and everything else, though you're required to say it out loud. I will go back to, bear with me, in the early 1970s, I was a police officer, and you cannot testify in court that this signature on the driver's license doesn't match the signature of this guy when he signed for his items after you arrested him and you took his items away. How were you to be a signature expert to determine whose signature is what? So I don't know how that would really work. It could raise more questions than not, though I understand the concept behind checking over. But how do you do that?
Yeah, I think maybe it was the questions that came up where there were multiple ballots with an exact, you know, people were saying there was just a multiple ballots that had a very
really?
Similar signature, you know, across.
That's, yeah. It's first I hear of that one. Yeah,
but
it's very possible.
I'm not saying in principle, I'm just saying
no,
I think that
sure,
was where it came
sure,
in.
That
yeah.
could be.
Okay, but that's great to know then.
Well, they've got a signature match software that identifies the degree to the likelihood of the signature match on record with the one that you're seeing there, and you can adjust the I'm not saying you have that here, but it's
no,
out there.
Maybe the FBI and the CIA, but I don't know about local government.
I think another state's
yeah, and really.
They, and then they can, you can say, well, what statistical level do you want these to be checked, mm-hmm. kicked out or raised up? So you can set it from 5%, 1% to 50%.
Wow.
And of course the error rate, I mean, the higher you set that number, the more you gotta check.
Sure.
Or the lower you set the number, the more you got to check. So I'm kind of attracted to the idea of writing down a license number or something that's more factual, that is not debatable.
But you have to remember, and Massachusetts is a commonwealth, Virginia is a commonwealth.
Yeah.
They're two opposite entities. In Massachusetts, if the law doesn't say you can't do it, therefore you can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
In Virginia, if the law doesn't say you can do it, then you cannot do it.
Right.
It's opposite ways of looking at things. It took me a long while to get accustomed to reading Virginia law versus
that's
my experience of
very
Massachusetts law. So most people don't know that, but it's
yeah, can
it's
you say
it's.
That again?
It's
I'm trying to make that seem.
So if the law says in Massachusetts, if it doesn't say that you have to check a signature.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, you could. In Virginia, if the law doesn't say you may check the signature,
mm-hmm.
then you may not. It's opposite categories. Yeah. Yeah.
That's helpful
in
to
Germany,
think.
It's, that's why I say, you know, when you think of a lot of things from this side of the table,
yeah,
it's different.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
different.
I lived in Germany for a few years, and they I came to realize they have a whole different approach,
mm-hmm.
kind of like. If it is not permitted, it is not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you can't.
That's
you know, it's a very tight
concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not permitted. It's not allowed.
There was a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about the security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chain of custody procedures for ballot drop boxes?
Okay. So first of all, let's remember in Prince William County, and we're
right.
going to have the word. We were not like some other jurisdictions that put drop boxes outside and left them unattended.
Oh.
Our drop boxes are in the precincts, right by the chief. You know, it stands close by. Even when early voting starts here next week, you'll come in this door, you'll be checked in here, you'll be given your ballot. The booths are right out there, so our election worker walks out there and just stands back and observes. The machine where the scanner that you put it in is right there, so is the drop box.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no, it's out overnight in the cold or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't
so
happen.
No libraries or rec centers, only in the precincts as well.
They're even at the libraries,
oh,
and
so
even if we're
have.
Using them as voting places, they're still going to be in the voting room itself.
Okay, so you have them in libraries then? And
we have them in the library that we use for voting. They're not
right.
not in all libraries.
No, but I know that Haymarket Gainesville
right.
area
so yes,
one.
That is
do
going
you know
to be
how many of those you have? How many libraries are working?
Oh,
I
God,
saw
I, you know, I
no,
honestly,
large numbers then,
yeah,
okay.
I, God, I don't know.
No, that's fine. And let's see. Was there any time during the last election cycle when your drop boxes did not have video monitoring?
Not every facility has video monitoring. So again, if I remember correctly, I think when I went to Manassas City Hall recently, I saw outside a, shall we say, permanently installed exterior drop box. That would be different than us because in this room, you know, I think there's a camera behind us, but anyhow, but I'm not positive that all the locations have a video capabilities. If they are county owned facilities, we try really hard to have them. I'm extremely on the high side of being positive that the Haymarket Library has one, you know, because it's a county facility and we're able to facilitate that. But
are the library staff trained to be observers of this whole process?
They have nothing to do with it.
Is there somebody there from voter that, who's checking the Dropbox activity in real time? In other words, does anybody observe it, or is it just sitting?
They're checking in right here. It's going to be right here.
Okay.
That type of thing.
So there'll be somebody that they check
in with. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can't just
walk in with a rucksack full of votes and drop them.
Well, I'm not going to say that you can't walk in with a stack full and drop them in, because again, I think one of you mentioned, you know, there are nursing homes.
Yeah.
So they may have people voting at the nursing homes, and someone may bring these and drop them in the mail. Yeah. It doesn't say that you have to drop them in personally. It doesn't say that you can't bring in yours and your wife's and whatever. So I choose my words cautiously.
Yeah,
right.
So sure. Who's responsible for reviewing the video for any of the drop boxes, and were party observers present during the review?
We have not had reason to review the video.
Okay, so none of the videos have been reviewed that you know. Okay.
Had no reason to.
No reason to, okay. We're nearing the last page.
And I'm not even sweating.
No,
this
is
good.
That is exactly what we're looking for. So I'll turn
okay, it's my turn. To strengthen public confidence, we hope to expand our observation efforts and have a few questions related to election pages, nonpartisan observers, and party observers. And I think you've touched on some of this, but I'll go through this. Would you provide training and support, or designate us to provide training support for an election day page program as described in the law?
We have participated in the election page program in the past. It did not participate last year because of COVID.
Right.
This year, things have been up and down with COVID and not COVID.
Right.
And everyone has let it be. So if the schools care to participate with us, we would facilitate that again. Yeah. And we would take care of our training. We have a training person on staff that is part of his.
So this is a deal where high school kids just sign up to do this, and they get
credit. They don't get to do much, you know.
Right.
They may be able to go around and ask folks if they would like to see an absentee. I mean, not absentee. Pardon me, a specimen ballot, just, you know, or whatever, things of that nature. But there's really not. They cannot help in the terms of helping the election office.
Right.
They can't participate with the ballots. They can't participate taking the names. They can't do any of that. So it is a goodwill ambassador.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think just getting them in might, you know, trigger them to kind of participate in the electoral process later,
And we are participating with the Bar Association for a thing at the schools for those turning 18. It's a yearly, again, not last year because of COVID, but I've been in touch with them within the last week, laying out the program for this fall and which high schools and all that stuff. They're going to come up with a program. And the chairman of the League of Women Voters is going to assist us and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
And
so we're there, but, you know,
not
the page program, but in another methodology.
Absolutely.
I see. And that's for what, just election law or what is
it? No, the Bar Association handles it in the sense of you're turning 18.
I see.
You're becoming an adult.
Don't
forget the laws.
Kind of a civic change.
Yes. And so the first half hour of the program is devoted to elections and registering people to vote.
Uh-huh.
So I will have staff members there that will be registering these teenagers to vote if they so desire. And we will have a presentation program.
I see. Interesting.
Education, getting them.
Yep.
Because teens can be very distracted. So it's good to give them a focused area where they can learn and take that.
Believe it or not, I did it in Massachusetts before it was even the thing to do, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I guess I was ahead of my time, I guess. I don't know.
Well, this sort of follows along that same line. Would you authorize nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party representatives as described in the law?
I would have to see what that law says, because I went looking for that law and I couldn't find it. So I know that there have been special programs through the State Department, so my staff tells me, in the past. And they've participated.
Okay.
But when you say poll watchers, there's a different significance in my mind from a poll watcher versus someone from an international basis who's coming in and wanting to say, how do you do elections?
Right.
There's two different things.
Yeah.
You know?
So If I can, I'll find out more about that, and if I'll just send you an email or
sure,
something telling you whatever, what the hell
sure,
we meant by
I
that.
Sure, I ended my last one.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Well, for it, you know, and part of the thing, too, is we have to be cognizant of, you know, poll workers have certain requirements, and you're probably going to get to a question about that.
Right.
So we can't have more poll watchers than voters, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, that's just a logical, you know, perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine the worst case scenario there.
Imagine poll watchers in this room.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which they are allowed during early voting. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's
kind of a cluster. Would you authorize international nonpartisan observers from recognized election monitoring organizations? I guess to be observers.
Again, I'm makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Makes me very nervous. I would really need to know more about it. Not prepared to say no.
Yeah.
But again, if there are particular laws that require people who want to be observers for American citizens, and you're only allowed one per candidate, one per, you know, party, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I'm not prepared on just on a question like that to say that that's a yes or a no.
Okay.
It's very gray
right.
to me.
Okay. If I can get more information, I'll send it on.
That'd be fine.
I think one of the...
I don't know if it's going to happen, but that'd be fine.
Of course.
I always like to be prepared.
Yeah, yes. No. I think one of the guys that's involved in this organization has a lot of overseas U.S. Election monitoring and hama-hama under whatever, State Department, Department of Defense or something. So I suspect that's where that came
Could
from.
Could be.
Have your local party chairs been notified that they're entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receiving in-person ballot absentee ballots?
Never we heard. Have not notified them, no.
Okay. Apparently, we think that there's a requirement for that or something, so... If I get more information, I'll try to find out what the genesis of that
yeah.
is.
It's like I was aware of the one having to do with the LNA and all that stuff.
Right.
I made sure the memo went out and it was all that kind of stuff. Usually you got to get up early in the morning and beat me to the punch. So that's why I'm going, I'm not so sure about that one.
Well, you can see this is a case where I don't know what the genesis of the question is, so I'm sorry for that. So do you have a publication that you provide to election officials regarding rights and responsibilities of observers?
Our training officer is preparing that. So there's going to be training coming up for chiefs and assistant chiefs and election officers. That is his job, and there will be a part of the education program will address that, yes.
Okay, that'll be probably next week or something. Right?
Oh, God, he's got so many scheduled, you know. I think right now, my last conversation with him, which was probably a day or so ago, was he's still waiting for certain updates from ELECT, but it's in process. He's got it pretty well set.
Okay.
Again, I'm a stinker. He can't go proceed forward until I get to see it first.
Yeah, okay.
And I know, isn't there a State Board of Election booklet as well?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Is that
that's the instruction manual.
The instruction
yes,
manual, is that
you? You know, that's what we're waiting for, too.
Okay.
So we don't want to finish doing our slides and preparing for the class if we
right.
don't know what's in the manual
yes.
yet.
Okay.
We don't expect there to be much of anything if there's any change, because usually we're aware of the change. But again, due caution.
Okay.
So I think the answer was yes, you do. So the next question doesn't apply.
Okay, I like that.
Now, we have been told that we can ask you questions outside of this list, kind of our own personal questions, just a few of them that have come up. Do you ladies have specific ones that you want to ask?
I did not pertaining to Prince William County at this time.
No, I'm good.
And I didn't either. I think you've answered every...
I think you did.
Come on, guys, I was ready.
I think my questions have to do with some of these anomalies, and I don't think it's fair to ask them because I can't even articulate them. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I've had some people that have come in and thrown them at me, and I can't understand what in the heck they're talking about. I don't have any clue.
Well, I'll give you an example. I looked at the state... election data, has registration data, mm-hmm. you know, and you can compare. So I, out of idle curiosity, I compared 2018 with 2020
okay.
registration mm-hmm. data. And it turns out, and I'm not making this a question, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
So as you can see, these are the ones that, that had the greatest delta between 2018 and 2020 in terms of percentage. Your county was, you know, I basically, everything under 5% I eliminated. So that just shows that we're mm-hmm. over 5%. And I didn't consider that because this county's been growing quite yeah. a lot, and so has Loudoun. But Loudoun has a large jump for 2 years.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I guess.
So somebody was out there registering the hell out of people or something. And, you know, you can see something like that, and that only raises a question that you have to go to Loudoun and try to figure out.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, a team like us is
trying to... Something to think about just for conversation
yeah.
purposes.
Yeah.
So when I came here in 95, the population was a quarter of a million-ish.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
way or another. When I came in, the Prince William Parkway... That goes by the McCourt building, which is a county administration building. They were just finishing constructing it. So when I came for my interview, I remember that you were on one side of the road one day, one side, you know, all that stuff. So it was still under construction. And I've seen it be recovered now like four or five times. So I was like,
really?
God, I'm getting old. But if the population at that time was the quarter of a million-ish, and now we're just under 500,000, that's a hell of a jump from 95 to now.
Yeah.
So they've gone from, I don't remember what the number of voters was back then, but now it's over, you know, 300,000. That's a lot of people. So
right.
perhaps looking at a 5-6% is not as crazy as we
no.
it sounds. You know?
Well, the census data says it's been about 3.5% per year. So you know, 7% would not stand out to me.
Yeah.
But I think those numbers were the numbers when I subtracted from those numbers the population growth expected based on the census.
Sure.
So that's a number greater than you would have expected.
Sure.
So that's why I raised it. But and I'm doing the same thing with the voter data that's available. It's a little harder.
Sure.
But anyway, it's just, you know, I used to do this stuff in the military, so
there you go.
It's something to do.
On election day in June, we had a ballot problem, so we had to reprint some ballots, and we were running around delivering ballots because there was a printing problem. And I, just like all the other on the staff that we could spare, and even some sheriffs, you know, were delivering these packets of ballots because
okay.
you know, the scanner wasn't reading them because the color wasn't as true black. It was mixed with, you know, when your home printer runs out of black, they use the colors to make black, but it's not really black, but the machine's looking for black.
I didn't know that.
Oh yes. So there was an issue.
Yeah.
So we were going around, and I put into my, you know, my GPS where I was going, and oh my God, I didn't even know these places existed. You know, I go into places where it looks like suddenly brand new houses. Where did these come from?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a school in the middle of it. You go, oh my God. So,
yeah.
you know, when I'm thinking of the population,
yeah.
and then I'm thinking of seeing that, and it was like, wow, that was really, I would never have guessed that there was a school
yeah.
in the middle of these houses, mm-hmm. and where did these houses come from, you know? But,
well, I just have one quick. You're getting ready to leave. Is there anything you want to share with us about anything that we haven't covered that you felt like is important for us to know about this upcoming election year, or anything that we've left out that you haven't had a chance to enlighten us with?
You know, I don't, but I'm laughing at you, not at you, really with you. I've been on interview panels for a lot, and I've actually was an active member of the International Municipal Clerks Association. I taught a lot of classes for certification. One of the classes that I taught was how to interview people mm-hmm. for jobs. And that was like one of the key questions that I always asked. And I've been interviewing people for GR and financial,
yeah.
and I've been asking that question. So that's why I'm sitting here and I'm chuckling, but not at you, but just chuckling, saying,
yes,
yeah, that
yes.
question fits.
Excellent
everywhere.
Question.
You know,
yeah.
it's a superb question. I couldn't come up with it better. No, I really don't, you know. There are some really good people here. You know, they're really good people. They are not accustomed to someone with as lengthy a background as I have in administration. So, you know, when it's, a month after the June election, and I said, okay, we're getting ready for November now, and then they start having meetings, and I hear, we never did this early before. This is not the way that works. We're preparing now. So, wow. Yes, the day that we got the ballots approved, I think it was a Friday, and in fact, it was the Friday before Labor Day, and on Tuesday morning, our guys were at the print shop. Our ballots are printed by Prince William County's own print shop. Saves money that way. And so they were there printing the ballots, you know. And you wonder how many other jurisdictions can have approval on Friday, on Tuesday morning after a holiday. They're standing there and they're printing ballots and they're testing them as they come out of the machines and making sure everything works. And so it's cool to have seen that progression.
Yeah. Well, I think they were very lucky to talk you into
that. Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, but they got what they got.
Right? Can we keep you here?
No.
Does your print shop use the watermarks on there or anything to make that paper unique that's observable?
No.
Okay,
so it's a certain grade of paper, you know, how normal paper is 20 pound, and then they've told me, but I've already forgotten it. But yeah. So no, and
it's a standard
heavy weight paper, and it's pre-folded and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But the issue was just to make sure that it works.
Sure.
That's some little silly thing on the side of a little barcode on the side doesn't throw off everything.
Yeah.
You know, the machine reads the barcodes, but knows what it's reading. Because some precincts have got two different ballots or three different ballots or whatever the case may be, you know, so it's making sure that it's prepared to read the right ballot and give you the end results at the end of the night.
Well, I congratulate you on what you've done here. Just your personal thing, you're not particular. This is an excellent experience for me. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I was more nervous about this than going into combat. I literally laid awake last night.
Really?
Yeah, I was up reading election law because I just think it's an important,
absolutely.
It's an important thing to be well informed and try to understand your deal. But you've been very professional and responsive,
I appreciate that.
You know, I just couldn't be happier with it, and I don't know why I stayed awake last night.
I don't know either. You could have called me and woke me up. This is different, doing elections for 20 years in Massachusetts is not the same as coming here 25 years later and doing them in Virginia. The laws are totally different. The machinery didn't exist back then.
Right.
I was on numerous Secretary of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts committees and task force to review machines when they were talking about going into machines.
Yeah,
See, that's how old I am. You guys weren't even born. Yeah. He and I made it, But it was they needed an administrator, and there was good people here to be able to pick their brain. Okay, this is your world. You need to tell me.
Yeah.
A lot of meetings, you know, in my office and whiteboards on the wall, and we're writing all over the walls and getting things done, because if you need to explain it to me and I need to understand it, then you have to be up on your game in order to be able to. It's again another one of my things.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've been fortunate, but. But this was a great opportunity to pay back Prince William County. You know, I had a very successful career here.
Yeah.
And I left in very good standing. I've appeared before the Board of Supervisors, who I was always working with. And it was nice to be there and be welcomed.
You know,
it's not necessarily always the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So
we certainly appreciate your time. I know it's a very busy season. It is election season now.
That's all right. That's all right. You know, I've had other people, like I said, call me, and I was up front with you about that. They called me about this, and I had said no, but on his demeanor and his presentation and the gentleman that he is, I said, okay, this is going to be fine, and it has been. I appreciate that.
So I have one more final request.
I'm sorry?
I want one more final request. Would you allow us to have one of your staff take a picture of us?
Sure.
With you,
sure.
I think that would be fun.
If I'd known that, this is casual Friday, you know. Look at you.
I'll take off my gold.
I'm liable to forget my purse if I don't send it. Okay.